Hi, I'm Johanna Ferreira, content director of Pop Sugar Juntos. Juntos is all about celebrating Latinx culture, pride, our many intersectional identities, and joy. Thanks to support from Prime, there's so much to get into over at Juntos this month. From conversations with the Latinx minds behind our favorite new movies and resurrected TV shows, to thoughtful celebrity commentary and exclusive interviews with some of the biggest Latin music artists today. And it doesn't stop there. Get more of the music, movies, and shopping you love on Prime. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more of whatever you're into from streaming to shopping. And get all of our latest coverage at popsugar.com/juntos. Con amor, Johanna.
Support for this show comes from Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. With Splunk, you get more control with unified security and observability, so you can sidestep those disruptions. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast, so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. Some of the world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. Splunk lets you react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience.
From The Cut and Gimlet Media, this is The Cut on Tuesdays. I'm your host, Molly Fisher. Play it right, play it right.
Play it right, play it right.
Walking around listening to a podcast gives you a strange relationship to the voice in your headphones. It's like you've got an imaginary friend. And probably no one knows this better than Sarah Koenig. For a lot of people, millions of people, she was their first imaginary podcast friend. Sarah's the host and co-creator of Serial, the show that made podcasts a cultural phenomenon. It debuted in 2014, and over the three seasons they've released since then, it's been downloaded more than 420 million times. Which means that the very existence of a show like ours owes something to Sarah's success. She's the one who showed that there was an audience out there waiting to listen. But even setting aside those numbers, Sarah's just really good at what she does. She knows what makes a good story, and she knows how to tell it so that people pay attention. Since I am still learning the ropes of the exact things she does so well, she seemed like the perfect person to ask. How do you get it done? So I called Sarah up last week, and I started by telling her a little bit about the Cut column, How I Get It Done. Basically, it's our excuse to ask women we admire about how they do the work they do. How they manage their time, how they manage their email, how they commute, how they deal with colleagues, how they take care of chores, how they balance all their relationships between work and friends and family and kids.
Oh my God.
Too much.
I mean, it's like you just described like my whole life and every anxiety and insecurity I've ever had. But sure, go ahead. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Happy to discuss.
Well, so I mean, to start with that on the most basic nuts and bolts level. Imagine you're in the thick of producing a season of Serial. Like, what time do you wake up?
When we're in production, like, my whole life changes, and it's frankly kind of awful, especially as we move. Like, it starts out sort of sane, and then as we, you know, as we move forward toward our finish line, it gets crazier and crazier. So if I'm behind, I'm getting up at 6 o'clock, probably trying to write before even the kids go off to school. If I can't drag my ass out of bed in time, then I'm getting up, you know, probably 7 or 7:30. I'm continually shocked at my own time mismanagement and my own, not even my own time mismanagement, there is that, is my own wildly inaccurate estimations of how long something takes to do.
Yes, I have this problem too.
I've been doing this a long time. I know, I'm almost 50, and I've been doing this a long time, and I'm still like, oh yeah, that'll take a day.
I found it hugely encouraging to learn that someone as successful as Sarah Koenig also has a broken brain when it comes to time management. It's a real day-to-day challenge, even when you've got a partner who helps you get everything done. Sarah's husband is a professor at Penn State, and they share the work that comes with raising their two kids, which mostly works out pretty well.
A lot of our resentment toward one another comes out in these like weirdly, aggressively competitive, petty declarations of what we've done. Mm. So it'll be like, I called the doctor and made the appointment. And you're like, why are you saying it in that tone? Or I'll be like, I did all the laundry. Did you see? It's a cold war of time management, of sort of like whose time is more valuable, mm-hmm. who's, you know, who is actually carving out time for the family and the domestic situation and who isn't. And he, I have to say, like, he was quite magnificent during this past season where I just announced, like, assume I'm not available for anything for the next, like, 3 or 4 months. Just assume I cannot do it. Like, you are it.
Yeah.
And dude has a job. Like, it's not like he has no life. Like,
not just hanging out. Job.
Yeah. So, you know, he was like, check. We're getting better at it, but it's still not, you know, fully fine.
It's so hard.
You know?
Well, how had you managed that during previous seasons of the show when your schedule kind of shifted or evolved?
So the first season, right, we had no idea what we were getting into. And I was working at home then in my basement. Like, we made a little studio out of my basement. And so I was home all the time, but not home, you know? Like, I would sort of, like, crawl up like a troll person from the basement every so often and be like, I'm hungry, or whatever.
While Sarah was holed up in her basement cave making that first season, millions of listeners had burrowed into their own online research and were trying to solve the mystery alongside her. And you could tell what drew them in. When you listen to the show, you can hear Sarah and her colleagues working through their own doubts and suspicions together. It's very human and very much a team effort. Out of all the people working alongside Sarah, though, one really stands out. Julie Snyder. She's Serial's co-creator and executive producer. Sarah and Julie have the kind of relationship that most people are only dreaming of when they call someone their work wife. They're total collaborators. And with Serial, they created something together that couldn't exist without either one of them. They first met in 2004, when Sarah joined the staff of This American Life, where Julie was a senior producer.
I guess I can say this out loud. This is my opinion. Everybody wants to work with Julie. Mm. Like, she's the best editor, like, ever, right? So everybody wants to work with Julie, and I had, we got along well, and I don't know, she's just the main person for everyone. Like, people, honestly, if you're in Julie's office talking to her, you'll see, like, easily at least 3 people sort of walk by and peer in to be like, can I be next?
You know what I mean? The queue
like,
forms.
Mine. I have the chair. You know? We understand each other's rhythm in the way that we work, and we understand each other's sort of editorial language and the way that we talk about stories. Like, if we'll say, I don't know, this seems kind of level one, but I'm just going to throw it out. And I know exactly what she means by level one, which is like, this is the dumbest version of this idea. And even though it sounds profound, we need to step back and be like, wait, are we saying anything you haven't heard 1,000 times before? And also, having been formed by each other's taste, and me much more influenced, I think, by Julie than the other way around.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah. No, she's definitely like the alpha, for sure. Yeah. I was like, there's no question.
How did she form your taste? Or like, what do you feel like she influenced in your taste?
I go for the more, to use an inside term I've just explained, level one tape occasionally. Like, I'll go for the more standard speechifying that is meant to be emotional or evoke emotion. And I'll think it's like my money shot. You know, I'll be like, wait till you hear this. Like, and she'll be like, oh, yeah, I think kill it. And I'll be like, wait, what? You know? And she's
what?
Just like, it sounds like blah, blah. So this is the other thing we say a lot. It sounds like blah, blah, which is like, it's the thing I'm expecting him to say in this moment. It's like, it's two nail on the head. It's making me lose focus. It's making me not like him so much. It's making me think you're a cheese ball. Kill it.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, you don't understand my art, you know, but she always wins. And I will relent. Maybe not initially. I'll be like, well, I'm going to hold on to it for the second minute. Let's
we'll just wait and see. We'll
you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like, inevitably it gets killed.
Mm.
But I have to say, this thing happens, and I try to look at it in a sort of magical way. I hear the story differently after it's done, mm-hmm. and say I wait 3 weeks, 6 weeks, a year, and listen to it. And then I'm like, oh, that's what the story was about.
Mm.
Like, I can't hear it for what it is until it's very much out of my hands.
Yeah.
Which is kind of terrifying, but it also makes me, I've learned, therefore, to really, really trust my colleagues. That's why I always ultimately give in to Julia, because I'm like, I know you're right. And I just have to trust that, like, I'll come out of this blizzard and be like, oh, yes, the clarity that you saw, like, 9 weeks ago, I now see.
I can share it eventually. Well, it's such a gift, kind of, or such a lucky, amazing thing to have a collaborator who you can trust to have really high standards in that way, like to be working with someone who you feel like expects things to work at a very high level, you know? I think that pushes you much harder, inevitably.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great. I mean, I don't exist, like, Serial definitely doesn't exist without, like, we both, it's not as if I bring nothing to the table. Like, I have certain skills. Like, I can do stuff.
That's the pull quote for this interview. Skills. Sarah Koenig, I have certain skills.
There's some stuff I'm pretty good at, you know? But I do very much recognize, like, there is an alchemy to the way that I work with Julie. It is, like, a true, true collaboration where I just can't do that as well without her input, without her partnership.
When she was starting out in journalism, Sarah was a print reporter. She worked at places like the Baltimore Sun and the New York Times. That's what she was doing when she first started contributing to This American Life as a freelancer. And the way the team at This American Life worked was something totally new to her.
Probably the biggest reason I went to This American Life is because of that process, of going through that edit process. And my mind was blown. I had never experienced anything like that.
What do you mean?
Just the, you know, the utter ripping apart of your first draft and just kind of starting over, and how bossy and utterly in charge the producer was. I mean, I had never done radio, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's how it should be. Like, the producer should be like, oh, no, here's what we're doing. Don't, like, you shut up and sit there. Like, that's, you know, not entirely how it worked, but kind of. I was initially sort of affronted by that. You know, like, well, how dare you?
I'm a reporter, yeah.
Yes, you don't understand me. But then I, like, totally submitted, you know. And so just the smarts and creativity and, frankly, like, the joy and the giggling that went on in these edits. You know, I was used to, you have your beat, you write your story, you go out by yourself and you talk to whoever you need to talk to for the quotes that you need and the information that you need. You write it up, you hand it to the editor. The editor sort of somberly gives you back a thing, asks you a few questions. It's in the newspaper the next day, you're done, and you start over again. Like, it was not fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, sometimes, but it wasn't like a team is coming together to make the best possible version, the most interesting, most entertaining, most informative, most joyful thing that it can be. And if you want to, like, tell a side story and make everybody on the phone laugh for 3 seconds, it's fine. It was just a new world for me. And I was like, I want to work there. The thing is built as a cooperative organism, and that's what I loved about working there, and what I love about Serial, too. Like, I don't want to work on my own. I mean, sometimes, but not, you know, I'm like a theater nerd at heart. I'm sort of a ham, and I used to do improv comedy, and, like, I like putting on a show with a group of people. Like, that's what I like. But it never occurred to me that I would host my own thing until Julie said it. She sat in on an interview I did, and I remember afterwards she kind of squinted at me, and she was like, I have an idea for you. A few weeks later, it could have even been months later, she was like, I think you should host your own show. I think we should make a new show for you. And I was like, what? And she was like, I like listening to you interview people. I think you could do it. And I was like, okay. And it honestly had never occurred to me.
Looking back from the vantage point of 2019, this sounds somewhat crazy. The podcast transformed her into a kind of celebrity. There was a Sarah Koenig parody on Saturday Night Live. But at the beginning, she wasn't totally comfortable making herself a character in the story she was telling.
I'm a pretty traditional reporter in that way, where it's just like, not about me, it doesn't matter what I think. And I remember Julie and Ira, too, both kind of being like, this isn't going to work unless you take us by the hand more. Like, it's just, I'm bored. Like, you're boring me. It's like, okay. And it's funny. It's like, in some ways, I feel like my whole career in the last 6 to 10 years, it's like, you're just trying not to bore Julie. Like that. You know what I mean? You know, so you're just like, is she going to think this is boring? I probably ask myself that like 7 times a day. It's a funny journalistic standard. Am I boring Julie?
After the break, Sarah tells us about her fears. And Julie, if you're listening, we hope very much that we're not boring you.
Support for this show comes from Splunk. Digital systems let businesses do incredible things, but they also introduce plenty of potential points of failure. Disruptions can happen anywhere, at any time, and even with a ton of resources, it's not always easy for businesses to connect the dots quickly. But Splunk can help you get more control. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues quickly, so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. With Splunk's unified security and observability, you can sidestep those disruptions and keep operations humming. You can detect and investigate incidents faster, get guidance to identify root cause, and understand the impact. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. Splunk lets you react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions and build digital resilience with Splunk. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience.
Embracing nature is more than just going for a walk now and then. It's reconnecting with the elements. It's harnessing the power of natural ingredients. It's putting the earth first. For over 50 years, Nature's Sunshine has been sharing the healing power of nature as they work towards a healthier planet. Their manufacturing facility is 100% powered by sunlight, and they divert 95% of waste away from landfills. If you're looking for a sustainably made herbal supplement, you might want to check out Nature Sunshine and their new power line. Power Beets are a superfood performance booster that can help enhance both performance and blood flow. And Power Meal is a satisfying protein-packed superfood shake that comes in sustainable packaging made with nearly 40% post-consumer recycled plastics. Now that's something you can feel good about. This Earth Month, you can enjoy 25% off your first order with code NSP. Just go to naturesunshine.com. That's naturesunshine.com and use code NSP for 25% off your first order.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This week, we're talking to Sarah Koenig, the host and co-creator of Serial, about how she gets it done. And one of the ways Sarah gets it done is by not using social media at all.
It's not a natural, like, I would have to learn how to use it, you know? Like, for one thing. And I just feel like, oh. And then I feel like anything that I have to say, I'm saying it in my story. It's not like I don't have a platform,
true.
To talk about the things that are interesting to me. So I feel like I'm good. I don't need to do it more. And the really main reason, though, is I'm such a time waster and a procrastinator that I just know it would be a massive time suck.
How do you procrastinate?
I'm pretty... the gentle word, I think, would be like compulsive about tidiness and order at home. And so I will like fix the thing that needs fixing, and I'll scrub the thing, and I will rearrange the whatever, and I will endlessly do stuff like that rather than my work. So that's what I do. I also, especially this past season, I got really sucked into crossword puzzles.
Oh.
which I really enjoy in the same compulsive way of like, I completed a thing and I solved it. And I
the task
it.
Has been finished by me.
Yeah. Yes. So there's that satisfaction. And there's also the like, I'm a smarty pants. I figured it out. So I got into the New York Times Sunday crossword. Mm-hmm. And yeah, boy, I really, don't tell Julie, I really wasted a bunch of hours.
You could have had an additional season if you had not been doing the Sunday crossword.
Kind of.
To like sort of zoom out and hit you from a totally different direction, what are you scared of in your work?
Getting something wrong. I really live in fear of an error, not only a factual error. I mean, whatever, small errors, those happen. I don't like fret so much over those, although I hate to make them. I think we made one factual error in all of season three that we corrected immediately, but it was, I called something the Cooking Channel, and in fact, it was the Food Network. So I feel like that was a bummer. We had to make a correction, but like in the grand scheme of things, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, if there was like, anything you were going to mess up in that season, that seems like it's pretty safe.
So things like that, like whatever, I'm not going to lose sleep, but more just like, am I seeing all of the angles of how this thing could go wrong for the person I am representing mm-hmm. here? You know, the response to season one was so overwhelming, and a segment of it was very difficult insofar as listeners began speculating publicly about people in the stories, and where we had tried to keep people anonymous or protect them in some way, like that was just all blown to bits on the internet, mm-hmm. where it was like photographs of people are appearing and people's addresses and their last names and their criminal history. I mean, it was just like, whoa, you know, I felt a lot of anxiety and upset about that. I felt responsible. The experience of making Serial really has given me such a deep and profound respect for that duty that I have to protect people and their stories. I don't mean protect them from like the truth or whatever, but
be responsible.
It's like kind of a, yes. Like it's kind of a sacred thing. Like even though you're talking into the microphone, like, you're controlling the words that you say, whatever. Ultimately, I am entirely in charge. And so you are throwing yourself at my mercy and trusting me in like a way that I would never trust somebody. Like it's really a big deal what people are giving to me. That scares me, that I will screw that up in some way, that I will hurt someone I didn't mean to hurt. Mm-hmm. I fear that.
How do you manage that fear?
I check and double check and triple check with people. I'll go back to them and be like, I'm going to say this thing. I want to be clear. You're comfortable with this. I can say this on the record. You know, I will ask mm-hmm. them. And very often, as you know, making season three, again, when it was private people, even sometimes when people said it was okay, I was just like, I think you don't know what you're getting
really?
Into, and I'm just going to leave your name out of it. Yes. Like, I happen to know you have a warrant out for your arrest. You don't know this. I'm going to tell you right now you have a warrant out for your arrest. Does that change your willingness to be part of this story? Let me think about it. No, I think I'm okay. And I'm going to be like,
no,
you're not okay.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah.
And then personally, I think what scares me is like I worry about looking back and thinking I worked too hard. And I should have. I had young kids. Did I sacrifice too much time with my kids?
How old are your kids now?
They are 15 and 12.
Intense ages.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny now. I feel like we live in a very small town. My office is walking distance from home. Their school is walking distance. I can see their school building from like where I'm sitting now, basically. So I am sort of available in a logistical way, but I'm not always, you know, mentally available to them. And I'm aware of that. And I, you know, have all kinds of parental guilt about that. That, you know, they'll be on their therapist couches 10 years from now being like, my mother was in the basement and she didn't come up for dinner. You know? I was having a crisis and she told me to be quiet.
What do they make of your work? Like, do they view you as having a cool career or are they like mystified by it?
I think they think it's cool. They're proud of me.
That's nice.
sometimes I bring them, like if I go do an event or a speech or something, a few times I've brought them, and usually it's out of necessity, like I have nowhere to put them, so I'm like, you're coming with me. But it's also a more self-serving thing of like, you're going to see a whole audience of people is going to clap when I walk on stage. So I want you to see that somebody respects me, somebody thinks I'm good. I'm appreciated.
You're going to learn a thing or two.
I have to say, it works. Yeah. They're very nice to me afterward.
That's a great parental life hack. You just need like a cheering auditorium to convince your children you're an authority figure. I mean, this is a much different scale of worry, but I have been told also that you are afraid of flying. Is that correct?
Oh, I'm so much better.
Yeah?
I'm so much better. Yeah, I used to be terrified of flying.
How did you become unafraid?
I remember one of the most useful things anyone ever said to me that really, really did help. I mean, it took a long time for it to help, but it did help, was something Ira said to me. We were talking about it one time, and he was like, what are you afraid of? And I was like, I'm afraid I'm going to die, dude.
Get it together.
I'm afraid of dying. And he was like, wait, you think just because you're on an airplane, it's going to, what are you, a megalomaniac? And I was like, I don't think so.
Of all the flights.
And so what's your problem?
If I'm on it, it will be the one that crashes.
Right.
Yeah.
Like somehow you're important.
Yeah.
And I had never thought of it in those terms. And I was like, oh.
Huh.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm nothing. I'm like a worm. It doesn't matter whether I'm on the flight or
Ira,
not.
Ira, you've helped me understand that truly I am a worm. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. It's useful in all kinds of ways.
Well, so one question that we like to ask everyone we talk to for these is, what advice would you give your younger self if you could?
Oh, my God. I feel like I wasted a lot of time on jealousy, you know, in this kind of smiling, gritted teeth way of just like, oh, you got that in. Oh, is that, you're going to be on the front page? Oh, okay, that's great. But feeling very much like, I got to be, you know, I want the front page thing. And that is such a waste of energy.
Yeah.
And feeling gross about myself, too. Just like, what's wrong with me? Like, why am I begrudging other people's success? Like, that's just awful. And so to let go of that, I definitely had that the thing I think we all have, but maybe especially women have, a kind of imposter complex or whatever, like a fraud. Like I'm pretending I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And nobody knows that I don't know. Everybody thinks I know. That I didn't deserve any of the opportunities I was given, and I didn't ever know what I was talking mm-hmm. about, or I had no skill. And understanding now, everyone's faking
yeah.
it. Everyone's faking. None of us knows what we're doing. That is the human condition.
Yeah.
Like, we're just kind of making it all up, and that's fine. That's fine, but, like, because you don't have a feeling of mastery, like walking through the world every day, that's not failure. That's like life.
That's it for this week's show. We'll see you next Tuesday. On an upcoming episode, we are going to be talking about email, and we want to hear from you. Not over email, but over voicemail. Give us a call and tell us all about your email habits and anxieties. Are you good at email? Are you bad at email? What stresses you out the most about email? What things are other people doing that drive you most insane? What's the worst thing that's happened in your inbox? And do you have any personal rules or tricks that help you keep it under control? Tell us all about it. Call us at 920-368-3341. Again, 920-368-3341, and tell us about your email. The Cut on Tuesdays is produced by Sarah McVee, Olivia Natt, and Peter Bresnan. Our senior producer is Kimmy Regler. We're edited by Stella Bugby, Nazanin Rafsanjani, and Alex Bloomberg, who, under pressure, could not name a Nancy Myers movie. Music and mixing are by Haley Shaw. Our theme song is Play It Right by Amelia Meath, Nick Sanborn, Molly Sarley, and Alexandra Sauser-Monig. Cut on Tuesdays is a production of Gimlet Media and The Cut.
Support for this show comes from Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. With Splunk, you get more control with unified security and observability, so you can sidestep those disruptions. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast, so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. Some of the world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. Splunk lets you react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience.
Celebrate Earth Month this April by harnessing the power of Mother Nature with Nature's Sunshine's new power line. From Power Greens with over 200 plant-based nutrients to support gut health and foundational nutrition, to Power Beets that can improve performance and blood flow. Not to mention Power Meal, which delivers plant-based calories from whole foods to help keep you both energized and feeling satisfied throughout the day. This Earth Month, you can enjoy 25% off your first order with code NSP. Just go to naturesunshine.com. That's naturesunshine.com and use code NSP for 25% off your first order.